What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
You don't know what that art is, Mr. Trash. I'd show you, but I'm too old. I'm too tired. I'm too fucking blind. If I were the man I was 5 years ago, I'd take a flamethrower to this place.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
We've said it once, we've said it a million times, and we're going to say it every day. The truth shall always set you free. This is Tim, this is Get Off My Lawn, the Matt Ramblings of a Gen Xer, bringing it to you, and bringing it to you the right way.
That's what she said.
At least we hope so. You know what today is? We haven't done this in a while, and it's been more than a hiccup, but it's Wednesday. And it's about the government, man, because the government is taking the COVID shots and they're taking it and they're putting it in our bodies and they're going to be able to track us through satellites in the skies because the aliens, man, really know what the government is all about. It's Conspiracy Wednesday. Haven't done a Conspiracy Wednesday in a while, but you know what? We have so many things going on right now, especially with artificial intelligence. What is it? The Chat GPT. That is the new artificial intelligence that has gone rogue. It's Skynet. It's one of those tools that everyone will now have access to. It'll allow you to write term papers. It'll allow you to write movie scripts. It'll do all these things that you don't want to do anymore as a human. Because you know what? If you are a college student and you want to just kind of not do your homework, not write your papers. You could go to Chat GPT and you could turn around and you can have it. You could put in what you want it to be on, how many pages you need it to be on, how many words you need it to be. And it does everything for you. It'll create movie scripts. It'll do everything, man. It'll take over, man. And you know what it'll do? It'll be a part of the government. And the government will sit there and tell you that it's not taking over. But then the aliens come down, man. And then the next thing you know, we're all sitting there on Pluto, not knowing what to do because we got sucked off the planet. You know, everyone's worried about Skynet. Everyone remembers the Terminator and Skynet and how Skynet took over one day and launched the nuclear missiles because it was going to wipe out mankind. We're far away from this. And if you actually listen to some people that have knowledge, and I don't have knowledge in these artificial intelligence programs and systems and things such as that, I don't have knowledge in it. But if you actually listen to people that have knowledge in regards to this, they tell you that really there's nothing to worry about right now. That maybe down in the annals of history in the next 30, 40 years, it'll become this artificial intelligence will become more and more, and will be more. Will be more like Skynet, but, you know, it's right now people that are like computer professors and professors at Princeton. There's a gentleman over at Princeton who's a professor, and he basically says that it's a bullshit generator and that Chat GPT merely presents narratives, and that's all it does. He says it is trying to be persuasive, and it has no way to know for sure whether the statements it's making is true or not. Okay, well that's when he went on to basically call it a bullshit generator, and he says when you combine that with the facts that the tool doesn't have a good notion of truth, it is a recipe for disaster. You're right, because there's no way to gauge what it's saying, because it's basically going off a system where it's following a model of generation in reference to words. Even when something as profound as the internet or search engines or smartphones, it turned out to be an adaptation. Whether we maximize the benefits and try to minimize the risk, whether then there's some kind of revolution, I don't think large language models are even on the scale. They can potentially be massive shifts benefits and risks in many industries, but I cannot see a scenario where this is the sky is falling, man, kind of issue, man, because you know what? The government is going to control the system by controlling our brains, by having the systems which they program write everything. You know, I love it because then ChatGPT came out and they turned around and they put together a program. And I love this because they're taking it off both ends. They turn around and put out a program which will allow universities and professors to determine if a paper has been written by an artificial intelligence. So not only are you going to use this artificial intelligence to cheat or to do whatever you want to do. And a lot of, you know, it's funny. A lot of real estate agents are using this to do house descriptions, which I think is hilarious. which I think is hilarious at to say the most. I forgot even what I was saying, man, because I'm reading the story right now about how ChatGPT owners have launched imperfect tool to detect AI-generated text. Now, it's from Reuters, and Reuters is saying that ChatGPT is a free program that generates text in response to prompting, including articles, essays, jokes, and even poetry, which has gained worldwide popularity since its debut in November, while raising concerns about copyright and plagiarism. That's the other issue. How does it know if it's written this paper for someone else or using the same ideas? Will this company then turn around and sue people for using this information? Will they sue them for using their jokes? Will they sue them? Because you know what, man? You sue people because of the fact that you're going to get more money and it's going to take over the world because it's going to get on the systems. And the next thing you know, every computer on the planet is going to have this. Oh, my God. And I love it because this company says, you know, we've recognized that identifying AI-written text has been an important point of the discussion among educators, and equally important is recognizing the limits and impacts of AI-generated text or text classifiers in a classroom. So they're basically came out with what they're referring to as an imperfect program. We're making this classifier publicly available to get feedback on whether imperfect tools like this one are useful. I mean, I really don't see the use of this because of the fact that, well, you know what? A lot of Gen Yers and Gen Zers are brain dead. So I guess they need something to have the ability to write for them. So the government, man, you know, they're basically controlling everything. I just love it because there's just so many people that fear the government so much and fear these things because, you know what? It's all a part of growing technology. You knew you were going to head somewhere into artificial intelligence. You knew you were going to somewhere turn around and find something that is going to be, I mean, look at it now. You have Alexa, you have the Google Hub. You know, so many people are saying, Alexa, yes, Tim. I should say Alexa.
Yes, Tim.
You know, what's the weather today in New York City?
Today's weather in New York City is 43 degrees with a chance of clouds.
So that's somewhat of an artificial intelligence. And you know what? People think this. People think that it is being monitored by the government, man. Oh, everything's a government conspiracy. Everything really is. Now, one conspiracy that I don't know how much it may not be a conspiracy is Biden is now declaring the pandemic over on May 11th. Now, what is the significance and importance of May 11th? Does anyone know? Does anyone have any idea what the important dates are? Oh, what do we got here? We got something coming up on here. I don't even know what's coming up on here. Let me take this off. Anyone know what the important dates are for May 11th? Like, I'm asking people like I'm doing a radio show. Like, if you want to call in now, we could talk about what the important dates are of May 11th. And honestly, that's what we should do. Again, this is Tim with the Get Off My Lawn, Matt Rollins of a Gen Xer. We have Phil from the Bronx. Phil, do you want to tell us what the important dates are on May 11th?
Yeah, man. Let me tell you some things that are some really important dates here. It was the 1942 May 11th, the Russian-German offensive. That was on that date as well. The Cold War talks stalled. Salt talks stalled back in 1970. And then in 1977, the Deep Blue defeated that guy in chess. And let's see, the Indian Underground nuclear test happened in 1998. The Iraqi suicide bombers killed and injured many in 2005. 2006, Wikipedia-like website launched in China. Okay, I'm going to re-say that. 2006, May 11th, Wikipedia-like website launched in China. Okay. Okay, can we talk about that for a minute? And the in 2013, the International Space Station astronauts replaced a pump. But let's go back to the fact that another artificial intelligence, notice Wikipedia, launched also on this date.
That's what you kind of have to laugh and think about. But on May 11th, Joe Biden, who has declared the COVID pandemic over back in September of last year, is now saying that it'll be officially over. On May 11th. Now, this is 8 months before the White House will officially recognize the declaration. This is 8 months where we've been hearing the pandemic is over. We have been waiting for this emergency to end, but now it's ending on May 11th. So do you think that the government program in reference to student loans will reactivate on May 11th? No. We're still gonna teeter that one out. But on September 18th, Mr. Biden said the pandemic was over as well. And I love it because Chuck Grassley came out and said, President Biden says he will end the COVID-19 emergency declaration on May 11th. About time. I voted twice to end the COVID national emergency declaration. Need to end the executive emergency powers. It is common sense. Since Biden said on September 18th, the pandemic is over, I support flexibility in reference to telehealth. Now, some critics are coming out and saying, some critics are basically saying that the media some criticize the media for not giving proper attention to the Senate's vote in November to terminate the emergency. But people don't want to look at that. People kind of forget that. And I love it because you have Phil Karpins basically say, Biden announced 3+ months ago of fake COVID emergencies on the eve of the first ever House vote on the immediate termination. Senate said it had 62 partisan votes to terminate back in November. Media dutifully parrots the White House spin. The White House is just amazing with their spin. I have to give Joe Biden and the White House and Karine Jean-Pierre credit because they have the ability to say nothing and do nothing, but basically sit there and turn around and it's a conspiracy and just do everything the wrong way. But then they all basically just say, you know what? The Hatch Act does not allow me the opportunity to answer that question. Or you're going to have to go and speak to the Department of Justice. Or I haven't heard any other information. Oh, my God. But don't worry. The pandemic is over. But the student loan payments will not, and I repeat, will not start back up again. You ask, when is that going to start back up again? Well, I'm glad you asked that. Because, you know, he's still working on this loan forgiveness program, which basically came out and it found some independent studies came out and said that this loan forgiveness program is going to cost billions of dollars more than was initially thought or initially projected to do. So he had last fall he announced the one-time forgiveness program. And that basically a plan would provide up to $20,000 in student loan relief or forgiveness for millions. And the government and I think it was up to $20,000. And that was for government loans. Over 26 borrowers at the time submitted for their debt relief after the applications came in available. And over 16 million borrowers were approved across all 50 states, which I find interesting because of the fact that we've talked about this before. Half of these people that have been approved never even applied. But that's okay. And as always, there was multiple legal challenges and basically two federal judges blocked the relief. And the legal dispute, of course, now is going to the Supreme Court, which is going to hear oral arguments, I believe, in late February. And hopefully a decision will be made sometime in June so we can end this because he does not have the executive power to all of a sudden do this. He does not have the ability to control the purse strings. That's why we have branches of government. The president can't just say, you know what? You don't need this debt anymore. We're just going to forgive this debt for you because it's okay. Because we don't want to teach any personal responsibility. We don't want to do any of that. And as I was mentioning before, that who was the company? I was writing this down the other day. It was Penn Wharton Budget Model, which is a nonpartisan group at the University of Pennsylvania Wharton School of Business, projected that the proposal could cost between $330 billion to $361 billion. Now, that's more than double what the federal government said the impact would be at $137 billion, which was, now that number was provided by the Department of Education. Now, the discrepancies between the two is because the government assumed that enrollment in low-income driven plans would remain constant. Now, this is what Penn Wharton is saying. And Penn Wharton projected that the more generous plan would cause and take the rate up to go from 33% to 75% of eligibility. So just think about that for a second. The eligibility rate, in reference to people that are eligible for this plan, would jump up from 33% to 75%. Now, they're basically saying what their analyst says is, taking this factor into account, our estimates provide a range of potential budgetary costs for the government over a 10-year budgetary window starting in 2023. Higher costs emerge at higher take-up rates. And they say the plan would cut monthly payments in half for undergraduate borrowers and lower-income families, while the Biden-Harris administration is reducing the deficit at record levels, which is what a department spokesman said in reference to the Penn Wharton model. The same can't be said for Republican officials who've racked up the deficit through $2 million in tax wealth giveaways. And I love this. The deficit has jumped up over the last 2 years exponentially because of his spending. So is inflation, and so is everything else. But we're gonna blame we're gonna go back from 4 years from now, and we're gonna blame the Republicans because it's a conspiracy, man. In reference to them and their sucky tax hikes, I would like to say something. I actually liked the Trump tax plan because it helped lower our taxes, and it actually helped give us more money back in our check, which I think was the entire purpose of the plan. So I'm going to say I'm going to say that I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. I'm just going to throw that out there. Another conspiracy, of course, right now is, we talked about Lisa Marie. Lisa Marie is not a conspiracy in reference to the leech known as Priscilla going over there and trying to take Lisa Marie's money. But we're not going to talk kids' money. We're not going to talk about that again. I'm only thinking about that because it kind of ticked me off the other day, because I noticed that some of Lisa Marie's friends came out and said, "Listen, her and Priscilla weren't even really like buddies anymore. They weren't really mother and daughter anymore. They weren't really involved anymore. And this is just a pure money grab, by Priscilla, so she could basically stay relevant." And I think that's just kind of interesting. It just kind of makes me just cringe for a minute. But one of the other things I want to talk about, and it's not really a conspiracy, but back over in New York, you gotta love it because it's all about the illegal immigrants who are getting free rooms at $300 per night at one of Hell Kitchen's predominant hotels, have now refused to vacate when asked to leave, because of the fact that these are single males who are staying at these hotels and they're trying to move them to another facility. Well, evidently, they don't want to leave their $300 a night hotel room. I can't afford a $300 a night hotel room. But these illegal immigrants who get fed, who get clothed, who get free cable and a $300 room don't want to leave. They said, "No, no, no. We like it here. We don't want to go anywhere. We're asylum seekers." Even though the majority of our asylum claims will be denied, but we don't want to leave. Now, what they were going to do is they were going to be relocated to the Brooklyn Cruise Terminal, and they were transitioning mainly single males into this new facility, but they don't want to go. So what they're doing is they're camping out in front of the hotel. They're camping out in front of the hotel saying that we don't want to leave because the hotel locked them out. Are we not getting tired of this yet? Are we not getting tired of these people who are coming to this country who evidently think they deserve everything, that think that they don't need to work? And I'm not painting a broad stroke because I'm not saying everyone is saying this, but I am saying, what I am saying is you do have a segment of these people who are basically saying, no, we want our free stuff. We want our free hotel rooms. We want to have our sex parties. We want to drink in the hall. We want to drink in our rooms and smoke and do whatever we want to do. So, you know, we're going to protest outside the Watson Hotel, who has locked his house. We're going to sleep in the streets because of the fact that we don't want to go someplace that we don't want to go to. Because we're in America. And then I love it because then you have these stupid activist groups that set up food style cafe. Or I should say food style. They set up like cafeteria style food outside for the immigrants. So they can sit there and have their free food while they sit outside the hotel and protest. We have veterans. We have a homeless population in this country that we can't take care of. But we bring in millions of people now a year because of Biden. And we are sitting there and we're sitting there saying, OK, you're more important than the people that have paid taxes. You're more important than the people that have been here legally. You're more important than the veteran that fought for us. You're more important than the mother and her three kids that are sleeping in the car because you came in here legally and you want the American dream. But we're not going to give the American dream to the people that are currently here. We're not going to do that because they don't matter. Because their votes don't matter. Your votes are now going to matter. In breaking news, the DOJ is searching Biden's Delaware beach house. This, of course, is all in reference to the classified document information. I love it, though, because there was no warrant. There was no raid like at Mar-a-Lago. They're just saying, yeah, come on, you know, come on in, guys. Come look at our beach house. You know, hang outside, barbecue a little, have a good time. It's all good. Oh, while you're here, search for some classified documents. And if you find some and Hunter had access to them and he was trying to sell them, don't worry about it. That's no big deal. There's no big deal within that at all. Because of the fact that I'm the president, I'm in that certain segment where people like Hillary, where I'm not allowed to be charged with anything because I'm above the law because it's a dictatorship. Stephen Curry, is a basketball player, famed basketball player, soon to be Hall of Famer, multiple times champion. Him and his wife are objecting to the establishment of a multifamily housing on the property next to his. These are going to be low-income housings. And I love it because he sent an email to the, association and people such as that. So he sent an email to officials in the township, we'll say. And he basically says, we hesitate to add to the not in our backyard, literally, rhetoric. But we wanted to send a note before today's meeting. They wrote on January 18th, safety and privacy for our kids continues to be top priority and one of the biggest reasons we chose to live here. I love it, though, because it's one of those things again. We should have low-income housing. We should have these immigrants here, but keep them in El Paso. Oh, and don't put them next to me in my million-dollar mansion because I don't want to have to look at these people. And I am more important than everyone else. So you people just kind of, keep them away from us. Even though the government has said and Biden has said, they had the they were going to do this, rehabilitation neighborhood thing where they were going to segment certain populations of every neighborhood as low income housing. So everyone could live where no matter how hard you work, no matter what you do, everyone can live next to everyone else. Now, Mr. Curry is sitting there saying, OK, well, I'm a big time liberal. I'm a big time Biden supporter. But I don't want these people living next to me. Go put them someplace else. There's a lot of room in El Paso. Why don't you go send them over to El Paso? And I love it because Curry also asked once the town to erect a considerably taller fencing and landscaping to block the site onto his family's property. We are the champion. We are the champion. We are the champion of everyone. We are big time liberal. But the couple noted that the development would not add to low income housing in the area, only increase the density. Well, evidently, this is supposed to be low income housing, so they're wrong about that. But again, I don't want those people near me. Get those people away from me. Get those people making $15 an hour and you keep them someplace where I can't see them after they finish cleaning my pool. Because I don't want that in my neighborhood. It is the epitome of self-entitlement. It is the epitome of the fact that do as I say, not as I do. And I love what the statement says. We hesitate to add to the not in our backyard rhetoric. But safety and privacy for our kids. You know what? Then move. If you are a millionaire, move your mansion. Build a bigger wall. Build a moat. Do something, but don't sit there and tell us that you are the champion of the little person, that you are the Biden supporter, that you're this huge liberal. But as soon as the liberal policies come towards you, you're just like, no, no, no. I don't want that. This was a fun show today. We got another big one coming up on Friday. We've said it once. We'll say it again. We'll say it 1,972,000 times. The truth shall always set you free. This is Tim. This is Get Up My Lawn, the Mad Ramblings of a Gen Xer. And until next time, I'm out of here.